Chair, we're now live.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome to the October 8th, 2025 meeting of the Montgomery County Historic Preservation Commission. My name is Karen Burdett and I am the chair. I will now ask the commissioners and staff to introduce themselves, beginning on my left with our newest commissioner.
I think I pushed the right button.
Yes.
Hi, Commissioner Carly Bond.
Mark Mignani.
Michael Galway.
Jeffrey Haynes.
Julie Pelletier.
Commissioner Doman.
Dara Nasser.
Laura DePasquale, Historic Preservation Staff.
John Liebert, Historic Preservation Staff.
Dan Brueckert, Historic Preservation Staff.
Devin Murtha, Historic Preservation Staff.
Thank you. The first item on our agenda this evening are the historic area work permits. Have the work permits been duly advertised?
Yes, Madam Chair. They were in the September 24th edition of the Washington Times.
Thank you. If anyone is here to testify for any of the cases, please give a speaker form to the staff and they will let us know that you are here to address one of the cases. We are going to begin by expediting the cases we believe can be expedited based on the staff reports. Is anyone here to speak in opposition to the following cases? Case item number 1A at 14 Hesketh Street, Chevy Chase. 1B at 7411 Maple Avenue, Tacoma Park. 1C at 7411 Piney Branch at Road, Tacoma Park. 1D at 17017 Georgia Avenue Olney. Case E, also at 17017 Georgia Avenue Olney. Case F at 17017 Georgia Avenue Olney. Case 1G at 19510 at White Grounds Road, Boyds. Case 1H at 7101 Poplar Avenue, Tacoma Park. Case 1I at 4920 Griffith Road, Gaithersburg. Case 1J at 9220 Damascus Hills Lane, Damascus. Case 1K at 7314 Maple Avenue, Tacoma Park.
Madam Chair, hearing no objections, I move that we approve the following historic area work permits in accordance with the staff reports based upon the record before us, in consideration of the recommendations of the local advisory panels and including the conditions recommended by staff. Hop number 1111337 at 14 Hesketh Street, Chevy Chase. Hop number 1129593 at 7411 Maple Avenue, Tacoma Park. Hop number 1129952 at 7411 Piney Branch Road, Tacoma Park. Hop number retroactive 1131128 at 17017 Georgia Avenue only. Retroactive hop 1131131, again at 17017 Georgia Avenue only. Retroactive hop 1131134 at 17017 Georgia Avenue only. Hop number 1131838 at 19510 White Ground Road, Boyds. Hop number 1131967 at 7101 Poplar Avenue, Tacoma Park. Hop number 1132911 at 4920 Griffith Road, Gaithersburg. Hop number 1133162 at 9220 Damascus Hills Lane, Damascus. And hop number 1129183 at 7314 Maple Avenue, Tacoma Park.
Commissioner Pelletier, can you give me a second?
This is Commissioner Pelletier, I second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? This motion passes unanimously. All these cases have been approved. If you have any questions, you can speak to staff tomorrow during regular business hours. We appreciate your work to preserve your properties and in working with staff to submit easily approvable permits. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we don't have any other cases to hear tonight, so we will be moving on to the last draft porch floor design guidelines. Would the staff like to give its report or changes?
This is Devin Murtha for the record. Before we give our report, I believe Dan is going to give a brief overview of the policy for the benefit of our new commissioner, and also as an overview for everyone before I present the design guidelines out.
So just a reminder, back in, I guess, late 2023, we had noticed a rise in the number of porches seeking to use alternative materials and realized we didn't really have a cohesive, we didn't have an answer to respond to questions about the degraded quality of wood and the rise of substitute materials and how to evaluate those. So the policy was developed with input from a subcommittee of the HPC, and we basically broke out recommended policy objectives based on the designation level of the site. That's laid out in brief in the document, and that was adopted in June of 2024. I think it probably warrants a revisit just to see how many of these we've replaced in the interim, but we've been developing illustrated design guidelines basically since then. We can answer any questions that you have about the policy itself or the design guidelines.
Before I start with the design guidelines, I just want to go over, this is the second review of them, so I've made a comment matrix from the first review to discuss some of the changes that were made based on feedback from the commissioners. So our first comment was a recommendation to remove references to specific products so that we could keep it open. So staff has swapped out all of the manufacturer photos for staff photos that we've taken mostly in Montgomery County. The second recommendation was that the examples in the spread entitled Compatible Material Guidance should be expanded to include more, possibly a two-page section. Staff built out sections on the wood porch flooring, pressure and heat-treated wood, and PVC composite decking to include more images and examples to help with this. One of the issues was that in removing the manufacturer photos, we were left with less photos. So there are more photos than there were in the previous example, but we didn't have enough to make a full two pages. I do think going forward, as we get more examples of compatible substitute materials, this is something we can revisit and add more pages to kind of go along with what we have and haven't approved and as our as the body of evidence evolves. The third comment was about expanding and editing the section on the types of wood. There was a recommendation to include more types with a table of pros and cons, and a recommendation to look at the Borough of Glen Ridge as an example. Staff did look at that example and added more types of wood and narrative about the text. We did play with building a larger table for types of wood that included more considerations, but ultimately found that a lot of these considerations, including environmental impact and cost, are outside of the purview of review. And so we built it down a little bit again. The fourth comment was about including more information about thermally modified wood products and examples. That's been expanded to a full page section on page 12. And then another recommendation to include more information about preparation, installation, and maintenance. That information has been added to page 10. Staff is happy to hear additional feedback and recommendations for this section if anyone would like to do so. And then I will go to the guidelines. I'll just go through them briefly and then I can hear comments and go back to whatever pages anyone would like to review. This is our cover page. This is an overview, purpose of the policy, overall guidance, applicable guidelines. This is largely unchanged from the last review. This is another page that hasn't undergone a lot of changes, just the historic area work permit requirements and the benefits, our tax credit program. did build out a little bit, talking more about traditional wood and wood species, included a small section on reclaimed wood as a possible alternative as well. There's a small table talking about some common porch flooring, and I'm happy to hear if anything else should be included in the table in terms of species. Recommendations to improve wood porch durability, added a few of the guideline or the pieces of advice that commissioners had talked about last time, including highlighting annual periodic painting and staining to maintain a water barrier. Built out these two sections for pressure and heat treated wood, and then PVC and composite decking to talk a little bit about what they are and how they're used. Into the policy and added a map of our historic district and resources. Updated the photos on the compatible material guidance page to include some more good examples. Recommended are on the left, and then not recommended are on the right. Page has some installation guidance with additional examples and a little bit of information on the anatomy of a porch. So I'm happy to take any questions or go back to any of the pages or hear any comments. This draft still hasn't gone through our communications department, so there will be minor alterations in the graphics and accessibility of the text as needed by the communications department.
Chair Burdett, just discussing the examples, the photographs, and the limited ability to get photographs that have come through the HPC. Have you queried your counterparts in like PG County or Frederick to see if they might have some photographs?
We haven't sent that out yet, but I'm happy to do that as we build out that second page. I think that's a great idea.
I'm trying to think where there might actually be someone who's actually used some of these more expensive products, so that also might be something to talk to some other districts or mm-hmm. DC even. Commissioner Galway?
This is Commissioner Galway. I just want to be clear on the contributing resources section. We do go in and say, and I support this, that if it is a rear porch that is not visible from the right-of-way, we can consider some sort of substitute material. We are silent on that on the outstanding or the primary resource, and is that because even if we have a rear porch on a primary or outstanding resource, that we're sticking with the wood recommendation?
This page has the exact policy language that was approved and adopted. Dan, if you want to speak to how we can interpret that.
So, I mean, these are our county's most significant resources, which is why, well, at least in districts. So there is sort of enough wiggle room that all of these cases are evaluated on their own merits. So, you know, there may be considerations like, a porch is off of a non-historic addition, whether or not that was approved by the HPC, its overall visibility. You know, you as commissioners could provide that extra leeway. The policy as adopted, though, is still maintaining that the appropriate material is wood, and that it would require additional considerations to have anything else be passed under both the adopted policy, but also under 24A and the standards and whatever district-specific guidelines there are.
Commissioner Doman?
Yeah. I guess, you know, I've been involved with this for a long time, and I must admit I'm not in full agreement with the policy as written. Okay, that's one aspect of this thing. I think we should be more open to new materials. That's how I feel. However, we're not here to discuss the policy. We're here to discuss the design guidelines that we have in front of us right now. And I see there's quite a few pictures have been added to it, and I understand why you did this. I don't see any reason why I would have nothing against putting in brand name products, but apparently that's something that you decided you weren't going to do. But I wouldn't have anything against putting in other products that are substitute products that we could at least have them in there so people would know that they're available. On one item that was new here is this thing about reclaimed wood, and it's on page 6, I believe. I don't know if you ever tried to buy reclaimed wood, but it's my supplier, which is Abernathy Sticks in Kensington. I've used 20 years ago, I was able to get some recycled wood or reclaimed wood from him for doing a floor, because I had to blend into an existing floor. This is like in a bathroom. It's all wood floor. Extremely hard to get pieces. Then they're different widths, different lengths, okay? They all have to be planed down. If you're looking at T&G, you have to then have somebody mill it for you. I mean, it's a major problem. And then the reason nobody wants to reclaim wood is because there's embedded nails that you don't see. And when you run that through a planer, you tore up your blade. So reclaimed wood, I can't buy it. I don't know where you would get it. I don't know why this has even been added into here, because I don't think anybody would ever use reclaimed wood on a porch. The picture that you have here shows knots and holes in it. A lot of times if you have reclaimed wood, you're going to pull the nails out. A lot of times the nails break off, and then when you run it through your planer, you ruin a $40 blade or something like that. You know, so I don't think we should even suggest people use reclaimed wood. I don't see that as a viable product to be used. And then on the same page, you have a topic that's called traditional wood. But I take exception to including mahogany, ipe, and teak in there as traditional wood. I think Montgomery County Rural Farms and Vernacular Architecture and everything in this area would never have used teak, would never have used ipe. I don't think that falls under the category of a traditional wood. So I would either change the name like other woods or something, but I don't think it falls under the category of traditional. Then on the next page over under wood species, you show a porch with redwood. Now, I don't know if you ever tried to buy redwood, but you can't buy it. And normally you never use it. The picture that you show here is not tongue and groove. I mean, I can't tell from the picture, but I've never seen redwood done in tongue and groove. I've seen it as a decking, where you lay them down in like 5/4 board and you put a gap between them. I've seen it done that way. But I haven't seen that in 20 years. I mean, nobody buys redwood decking anymore. It's horribly expensive. You can't get it. It comes out of, it's not being farmed, it's not being harvested anymore on public property. There are private sources of redwood, but you cannot get it. I mean, I've been to Woodworker Supply, and they said, we don't even touch this stuff. You can't buy it there. And I've been to Abernathy Sticks, and you can't buy redwood there. So I don't know where you're going to get redwood. And to do that, as a tongue and groove product, I don't think this is even appropriate. You know, I don't see why we even have a picture of redwood in here. And then my next comment on here is your little chart that you have, which talks about species, yellow pine, Douglas fir, cypress, redbird, eastern red, cedar, white oak, mahogany, Brazilian teak, and ipe. I don't know why you use this Junca rating, Junca. I've never used this in my life. I've never heard of it until it showed up in this chart. You ask a homeowner, well, it's got a 660 rating. No homeowner's going to know what that means, kind of thing. I don't see why we go down to put Janka ratings in here for a homeowner. You could say soft. I would put down too soft, too soft, too soft, maybe okay, and then hard, hard, hard for the last three, kind of thing. I just don't see why we confuse a applicant with a rating that is vaporous. I bought all kinds of wood in my life, and I've never once ran across this rating. I've never seen it. So I think it's unfair to the homeowner to have to do that to try and figure out what it is. But I don't know. I just think we're boxing ourselves in, and I understand that the commission doesn't take a position, you know, but we know we have been doing this for years, and we know what works and what doesn't work. You know, it seems to me we should narrow the choices down. And if I had to do this right now and make a recommendation, I would recommend pressure-treated wood that's been kiln-dried, okay? So that's the most logical thing that you can do. You can buy that locally, and I don't see why we just don't say, you got all these other choices, but by the way, the best choice is pressure-treated wood, tongue and groove. You can get tongue and groove wood, and it's pressure-treated, and it's kiln-dried, in which case you can paint it almost immediately. You don't have to wait 3, 6 months or something like that. Seems to me, and we don't even talk about, or maybe I don't know if I see it in here, but about kiln-dried pressure-treated wood. To me, that would be the number one choice that we should have right out in front and let the applicant know about it. You know, so those are my comments. I mean, I have a problem with the whole scope of the thing, but I realize we're only talking about the design guidelines, and so that's it. Okay, thank you.
This is Chair Burdett. I'll respond a bit to Commissioner Doman's comments. I do agree with the phrasing of traditional wood. I think what we're talking about is things like newer products that would be acceptable versus wood products. And traditional can be misinterpreted when we're thinking more of like, it's a wood product. It's a wood that you would typically have used at some point, as opposed to it's not one of these new advanced modified wood products. So I don't, off the top of my head, I can't think of a term that would replace traditional, but I think there's merit to that. The untreated wood we'll get untreated wood and then get into a modification of that for pressure treated or insect treated or whatever. Now, reclaimed wood, I also agree that probably doesn't deserve to be as prominent as it is. There are probably people further up county that would be reclaiming wood off their own properties, but that would be, it is not typical. And someone who's going to do that either is getting it off their own property or they have the money to do it. So it might be a smaller note that reclaimed wood could be feasible. And that. As far as the chart and the woods and all, I would like to point out that we aren't dealing with just historically, we've been dealing with the Victorian houses and early 20th century houses, the vernacular houses of the county. We are getting into mid-century modern houses at this point. We are having newer communities, newer historic districts that were developed and built in the 60s. And the 70s aren't too far behind now. So they did use some of these woods regularly. So in from their perspective, yes, some of this can be expensive. Yes, it can be difficult to get to get. But I think for those communities, we need to have it on what they are replacing, you know, in kind. This is what you can get. I do agree that untreated yellow pine is really needs to be a note that, like, we don't recommend this. We shouldn't even include it because it is so bad and it isn't lasting. Using treated pine, appropriate thing, and not treated for also for pests as well, not just, you know, I'm sorry, Commissioner Doman, you have just the phrase kiln dried is appropriate, is the appropriate term. Face of the piece, including that which is hidden, has to be treated and painted. So we have to be very specific about that. It just can't be raw. It just can't be somebody, whatever they bought down at the Home Depot. I don't, in here, I'm not recalling if we saw, we speak about how far off the ground this has to be. We talk about shrubbery, but really what has to be happening underneath some of these low porches, and we're going to get into that with the mid-century houses too, that is in here. Underneath, because that one case we had where they were literally an inch off the ground and it kept rotting out, and they wouldn't do anything about it. People need to understand that they have to do something underneath their porches if they're low. They have to either dig it out and put some gravel down or put a vapor barrier down. I think that should be referenced to something to ask the staff about. I know we can't cover everything in this thing. We should get rid of the obvious, not applicable, but at the same time, we should maybe add notes that, like, look, you need to, there are other things that have to be done to make your porch last. And that gets into good practices.
Well, let me go on. Some of these, I call them exotic woods, okay, the ipe, African mahogany, the teak, not tongue and groove, okay? I've never seen anywhere you could buy it. You can buy the wood, you can have it milled, I understand that. You can have an Abernathy stick and take it down there and they'll cut a tongue and groove for you on the thing, but you're buying it and then you're having it plain and then you're having it S4S or something like that, and then you're going to run it through a joiner or whatever to put a groove in there. I just, and on top of that, a lot of, I think, saying that we can use this, I mean, these woods are generally, what do you call it? They're over-harvested. A lot of the mahogany that came out of Cuba years ago, they devastated the forest there that comes out of South America. I don't think we should be pushing the use of ipe on any kind of historic porch. I don't think we should use teak on any kind of porch. I mean, there's other applications. If you have a sailboat or something, maybe, but on a porch, I think this is a gross misuse of a product. And generally, they are illegally harvested and brought into the country. And I don't think we should be part and parcel of harvesting and creating a market for mahogany, teak, or ipe, and any kind of house. Ipe, I've installed porches with ipe. there's a gap in them. The ones I've always done always have a gap in them. The ipe will have two little grooves on the side. You put a fastener in, you screw them on down, but they are not tongue and groove. I've never seen an ipe tongue and groove, to tell you the truth, kind of thing. As far as porches, I worked on historic porches that the substructure, you know, we talk only about the surface of it. And I understand this is all that we see, but like as Commissioner Burdette was saying, I've had porches that are basically sitting on the ground, or the floor joists that hold up the decking are sitting in dirt. And then a lot of them, there's no specification that says it has to be a pressure treated. I mean, in the old days, they just used any kind of wood that run the floor joists out and put the decking down on top of it. The floor joists will rot out. You get moisture coming up from underneath. And I've had decks done. I mean, I've installed a deck in with cypress, and it lasted 7 years. And the homeowner bought the wood. He saw this on your little chart. He said, "Oh, we got to have cypress." And then he painted every single corner, every edge, all six sides. I installed it, and it didn't even last 7 years. Okay, so I just think we can do better than just making a chart and throwing it out there and telling the applicant, "Oh, all these are good." You know, I think we should be. We know what's good. We know what's good, and we shouldn't pretend like we don't know what's good. You know, we know, and I think now is the time to start really looking at synthetic products. I mean, they're as good as anything else that we have out there in the market today, any kind of wood species. But then again, I'm in the policy again, and this is only for guidelines. So,
Commissioner Doman, I mean, this isn't endorsing any product, which is actually why we removed all of the examples that were from the manufacturers. This is an attempt to educate homeowners about our policy and how it's interpreted and what the range of options are. We don't direct homeowners to any one specific manner. If they have questions for staff, we rely on our knowledge and history and attempt to steer them in what we determine to be an appropriate course of action. But most of the time, what we see in a HOP application is based on a contract that the homeowner has already entered into with a contractor, and they've sort of dammed the torpedoes and they're prepared to proceed. This is our attempt, again, at educating them about the policy and what the range of options are and how we think about these. So, the list of species is in no way intended to be exhaustive. It's just supposed to be a starting place and sort of a baseline level of knowledge to help make that decision and think about how their choices relate to the policy itself. And again, the objective with this being a digital document is that in 2 years, 4 years, however long, that we have the opportunity to revisit some of these things and expand on them as we understand the policy's successes and failures, that we can, you know, improve this document based on that as well. So, again, we're not directing. As for this policy, we're not directing homeowners to take a specific course of action. And as the government, we can't endorse a specific product or manufacturer. So that's sort of why we are speaking in such broad generalities, is because, again, this is supposed to just provide some degree of education for our homeowners and the courses of action that they could choose to take should they decide to go down a specific path.
This is Chair Burdett, and for me, looking at the chart, the way I read this is it's going from top to bottom of the easiest, most accessible wood, yellow pine, which is what a homeowner is going to go to Home Depot and look at first thing. And yes, it's cheap, but it also has a minimal lifespan. And I would even shorten that lifespan, because if it's untreated and unpainted, it'd be lucky to make 5 years. But then down at the bottom is ePay, which is extraordinarily expensive, but it also has a very long lifespan. And the JANCA rating is actually relevant, because at least in my profession, we do use it occasionally because that hardness also determines how easily it's damaged, and the damage then allows moisture into the wood. So I think the chart actually is good. I do wonder about not encouraging overforested or rare species, other than the ones that are listed are the ones that homeowners are going to ask about. That's the thing. They're going to sit there and say, I want a teak, I want mahogany, I want ipe in particular. They're going to say, I want ipe. And explaining that it has money issues and access, you know, and getting hold of it, but then also from an environmental standpoint, it is not the best selection. And we all know that. We're in the business to know this. But how do we relate that to, you know, should we be saying that? Does the county have a position on this? I know some of this would not meet LEED standards, but then your general homeowner is not going for LEED. You know, they're just replacing their porch. So there's a balance we have to strike between the homeowner, whether it's a Victorian traditional vernacular house or a mid-century house, or is it somebody who's doing something else with this wood and you know, wants better, wants special, wants to do, you know, they want to put an addition out their back that is made of this special wood and they can afford to do it, sort of thing. So I understand it's a balance. I think you guys have done a good job with this, you know, on that, you're on the edge of that thin rail, that thin wood rail you've been walking down. You've done a good job, I think, with this. It's much more informative than what we had before. Commissioner Pelletier.
I don't know about now because I haven't done a big expensive house in a long time, but you know, 15 years ago there were dealers in reclaimed wood, like all over the place. I don't know if they're still around, but it was a big thing. Yeah. And it was expensive, you know, because there are, like you said, there's nails and all this kind of stuff that they have to fish out of the wood and whatever. But reclaimed wood 10, 15 years ago was absolutely an option for interior wood flooring. I don't know about porches, but I mean, I would keep it in unless something has changed. I mean, I don't know the markets really anymore for this type of product, but I know there's people that deal in reclaimed wood, and they do all the work, and then they charge a fortune for it. But it's been an option as long as I've been doing this type of work. So,
yeah, I didn't get the photo in time, but I have been talking to a reclaimed wood dealer up north in the county, and he sent some good photos of reclaimed wood porch flooring that was already tongue and groove. Or decking boards. Okay. That he has on his property that I was going to substitute in for this photo. He just didn't send it to me in time, but there certainly still are.
I mean, it's still kind of an option. I think it's an option. I mean, if you're talking about ipe versus reclaimed wood, like the reclaimed wood is a better option as far as, you know, the environment and everything else. But I like seeing that in there because I do think it is an option. I mean, it's an expensive option. It's an extreme option, but there are people who sell this wood, and so that the local miller or whatever doesn't have to, you know, break his blade on the, you know, someone else that handles all that stuff. But I also in my house that I own for another 2 days, I have redwood tongue and groove interior flooring on an addition that I don't know when it was built, maybe in the 60s or the 70s, but and maybe that's going back to the reclaimed type of wood, but I know there, just from my own experience, that there is tongue and groove redwood out there. I don't know if you can get it anymore. I mean, redwood is in the chart, I think. I mean, I would agree with Commissioner Dolman on some of these things. Like redwood would probably be a reclaimed wood. It is soft.
Oh my God, yes. You drag anything, a bed across it or whatever, and it leaves a big divot in it. But I don't know if you can get it anymore. But I think I like the chart. I think it gives homeowners just a general idea of what's available. And you do say this is not an exhaustive list. I mean, this is just a way for them to kind of gauge what's available to them. So I don't have an issue with the chart, except for maybe the redwood, I think, just because it's probably hard. But is red oak? Because red oak and white oak they're different. Like red oak is softer. It has bigger, I don't know what you call it, cells in it's much more easily damaged. I think it's kind of like redwood in that regard, whereas the white oak is a lot harder. I don't know if red oak is any cheaper or if it's more expensive, but yeah, the redwood, I don't know as I would put that in unless it's a reclaimed wood. But I just want to say in general, I think it's a nice presentation. I think it's well formatted. I think it's informative, and it certainly gives people more information than they had before. And like you said, it's a living document, as they say, and and up for change as things evolve. I think I was sort of leaning towards agreeing with Jim on some of this stuff about the newer products, but I still think wood is the goal. And I still think that on the outstanding resources and the contributing resources that were built with wood back in the day, that the material should be replaced. I know wood kind of stinks right now, but I still think that we should be encouraging them to use wood in some capacity and not plastic. So thank you. That's all I have to say.
This is Chair Burdett, and I would like to point out that we do approve or we accept thermally modified or heat-treated wood as an acceptable substitution. There are new products out there. They are very good. They're used. They're getting to be used widely. I would just like to say the photograph you have for the thermally modified wood looks like an old porch of pine.
That's thermally after 2 years.
Yeah, but it just looks 2 years. Dinky. Anyhow, if you can get a better photograph, of a new, I know it's after 2 years, yes, all the wood grays out. That I understand, but something that doesn't newer. Look like it's like it's already 40 years old.
Well, the photo at the bottom left, I think that's a railing or something at the bottom. Well, why are they? They're like swoopy. It seems like there's something in the front of that's making the whole porch look like it's twisted.
I think it's a piece of gutter or something. We can
crop
the photo separately.
Yeah, can you just crop that off?
I can crop that a little shorter.
All right.
So from staff, Commissioner, go ahead.
I just wanted to add something that I agree with Commissioner Pelletier. I think the chart and if you go back to the chart sheet, I mean, I understand it perfectly that you're not recommending this wood. And maybe just to be safe, like highlight this sentence that these are not recommendations or something, but to me, you're just saying that these are some examples, and if someone comes and finds another species of wood and they want to pay $1 million for it and put it on their porch, you can go for it. But I just want to say, and the reclaimed wood. We don't want to get million calls, people asking about, is this acceptable? Is that acceptable? So I understand that, and it's perfectly clear to me, but maybe just emphasize the point that these are not recommendations. These are just give you some guidance or something like that.
Well, thank you, commissioners, for all the comments on this. It seems that the majority of our edits will be to images, updating our images. We have the comment about rethinking the word traditional to remove that from the wood porch flooring section, and then just some, highlighting, maybe emphasizing that these are just recommendations in that section. Those are pretty minor edits overall to the document, so I'd just hope that we could move this to the finalized product share with you at the next sometime in December.
That sounds like a good plan. Thank you very much for all the hard work. It is, you've done a really good job. Commissioner Doman?
Yeah, like I said, I am not excited about the policy. But this is...
We're not talking about the policy.
This is the guidelines. I understand that.
We're talking about the product of the...
In my research that I've done on this, and I've been... Well, we had this subcommittee, working committee for since 2 years, probably, maybe a little bit more. Anyway, I've taken upon myself in support of this subcommittee to do the research on the wood, to try and find the wood, to try and get the pricing on the wood, okay? And I think I have a wealth of information. I also have with me tonight samples of everything, okay? And I would like to have the commission and our staff. I'm going to give you all my samples, okay? Because I'm going to be off the commission sooner or later, probably sooner. And I think if you had what I was looking at, like a show and tell board or something like that, because I have the tongue and groove from the thermalore or the heat treated ones. I've got samples of the regular pine ones. I've got Aratus. I've got Acre. I've got all the different types of wood. And you can actually, here you're trying to show a cut corner. Well, I actually have the pieces of wood with the cut corners, you know. So you can then create a visual board that then you can then, when an applicant comes in, you say, this is a sample that Commissioner Doman left with us, and we don't want it, but anyway, he left it here. So then you could have, because trying to look at pictures, that's only two-dimensional, you know. And if you actually had the physical piece of wood in your hand that you could look at and then see how it looks from the cut side and everything else, I think, I would like to add that to this guidelines that we create a show-and-tell board of the different products that are out there. That's what I'd like to see added into here.
Commissioner Doman, I'm sure the staff appreciates your generosity and you can leave the samples with them for them to figure out how to use them in an appropriate manner. Thank you very much, staff, for this hard work. It's been a long time, and we've been at this, and we do understand that we all have learned a lot about the new products on the market, and I think we have learned enough to now say when someone comes in with soft yellow pine that's untreated, that we can say, no, that is not appropriate. And if nothing else, that'll keep a few angry homeowners away from us. We can keep them from that mistake.
But I think we could, it's right there on the chart. You can't say it's inappropriate if it's right there on the chart.
If it's untreated.
Right, untreated. I mean, a homeowner can come in and say, I want to put untreated yellow pine on my porch. And you can say, it will last you 2 years, and you will be replacing it again. And they could say, I don't care. I don't have enough money. This is what I want to do. And that is an acceptable product. It's on the chart. It is wood. It is acceptable. It is up to the homeowner to decide how much they want to spend, how little they want to spend. But I think it's part of the commission's job and it's part of staff's job to warn them about the things and our experience, you know, with people coming back 3 and 4 times because their yellow pine has been, you know, has rotted again. So it's up to the homeowner. I mean, you know.
Well, I think what they were coming for is they wanted to use one of the plastic products.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and that was that. Yeah, and that's what we don't want them to go towards. We want them to stay with woods, and we have to say, If you're sitting there comparing yellow pine to a synthetic product, that's not a valid excuse to use a synthetic product. There's a lot in between the two. So don't use yellow pine as your base because we know it doesn't last, so do you. Pick, you know, there's this wide range of wood products of all types that you can select from. So, but thank you very much. Appreciate it. Moving on, we are at the minutes for September 17th, 2025. Did anybody read them?
This is Commissioner Dumignani. I've read the minutes.
Thank you.
And they looked correct to my eye, and therefore I would make a motion that we approve the minutes as presented for the September 17th, 2025 meeting.
I have a correction to make to them.
Go ahead.
For you guys. On page 5 of 6, there's the action. It says Chair Burdette moves to defer the approval of the design guidelines for porches and decks to the next meeting. Okay. Motion. Chair Burdette moves the approval of the design porches to the deck for the next meeting. Don't we need a second in there? There's a motion on the floor.
We can check the recording to see if somebody made a second, but it's not a, it is a motion on the floor, but it's not for a regulatory item where it's of as importance, but I will check the recording to see if there was a second.
I would note I tend to jot this stuff down because I'm Mr. Minutes at every meeting, it feels like. I didn't note a second for that one. I think it was just, we sort of all agreed without a second. Yeah. But.
So what happens? Is that okay?
not to get too far into the weeds here, but the chair sets the agenda as in our regulations. So I think the chair was just seeking somebody's approval that maybe we push this off to consider it at a future meeting. And I think all of the commissioners and all of the staff were on board with that. So. Again, no action was actually taken, so I don't think it raises any issues as far as the actions of the committee.
With that, I guess my motion stands.
This is Commissioner Pelletier. I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Staff items?
In front of you, you have the proposed calendar for the meeting dates for the HPC in 2026. And it's open for any discussion or questions to staff regarding those dates.
Anyone have any questions or comments regarding the dates? Comments? Okay. There are no commission items. Commissioner Haynes will be leading the next meeting, and you will be testifying
on the 21st for Timberlawn.
Is that Planning Board or Council?
County Council.
Council. All right. Thank you. We appreciate that. And with that, if there are no other issues or comments, then this meeting is adjourned.